Welcome to Advanced Biblical Foundations. This is session 5 of physical healing. I've been talking about everything that Jesus did for us, and about he went to the cross, paid with his life, and I want to continue looking in the New Testament. We've looked in the Old Testament. We've talked about how God is good. In fact, it says every good thing comes from God. And so we're talked about how Jesus represented the Father and really how he healed. So what I want to look at in this session, a little bit different angle, but I want to talk about that healing is part of the kingdom of God. So if you have your Bibles, if you turn to Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, and here's where I'm going. When you look at Jesus' ministry, he was clearly preaching and teaching the kingdom of God. And that was his primary message. He only mentions the church twice, Matthew 16, Matthew 18. But as far as you look at the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the predominance of everything that Jesus taught and shared was about the kingdom of God. One reference is the kingdom of heaven. They're interchangeable. But the reality is what is that all about? Well, the kingdom, it means it's the king's domain. So the king is Jesus, and he has brought his dominion, his rulership to earth. Isaiah, prophesying about Jesus, said when he comes that the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end, that he will establish it with order and justice, righteousness forever. So he brings the kingdom. And so this was a really important issue because the primary focus of Jesus' teaching on the kingdom, Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, Jesus went about all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. His fame went throughout all of Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them. Now, my point I want to make is, in this particular session, is that Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom and demonstrated the superiority of his kingdom to all other kingdoms. How did he do that? By healing the sick and casting out demons. Now, this is what we're going to look at. But the focus is on his kingdom. Years ago, John Wimber, who basically was the pastor of Vineyard Church and set up the Vineyard organization, went worldwide. God spoke to him to pray for the sick, pray for healing. And he struggled with this because he believed in healing, but, you know, is it guaranteed by the cross? Well, I believe it's guaranteed, but at the same time, he struggled with that because there were so many people that were not getting well. But he knew he was supposed to pray for the sick, and he saw some people being healed. But going to Fuller Seminary, and when he ran into the kingdom of God, he began to, literally the lights came on, he began to realize healing is part of the kingdom. Well, the kingdom is here, but the kingdom is not yet to the fullest extent that it will be someday. Jesus brought his kingdom. He taught about the kingdom. He demonstrated the kingdom by healing the sick and casting out demons. But it's not yet to the full extent that it will be someday. So he says the kingdom is within you. The kingdom of all kinds of things. We're supposed to pray in Matthew chapter 6. Pray for what? That the kingdom of God would come on earth as it is in heaven. So that's Matthew chapter 6. And it begins at verse 9. It says, therefore, in this manner, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, think about that for just a moment. This is how Jesus told us to pray. You pray to Father, and you pray and honor him, and you're praying for his kingdom to come and his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, previously, we talked about his will. No place did he ever say it's not his will to heal. Everybody that came to him, it's his will. Remember, Jesus said the exact representation of the Father. And he only did what the Father said, and he didn't do anything on his own. So he clearly, it was the will of the Father to heal. So the prayer is for God's will to come on earth as it is in heaven, and his kingdom to come. I just don't believe there's any sickness in heaven. I just have a hard time believing there's a lot of sick people there. I don't think there's anything out of order there. So his prayer for us to pray, which we call the Lord's Prayer, is for his rule and reign to come to earth, literally be here, and that includes his will being done, that includes healing. So the kingdom, though, we can certainly, it doesn't say healing, but it does say for the kingdom to come. So we can clearly recognize that Jesus taught the kingdom, healed the sick, cast out demons, told us to pray the kingdom in Matthew 6:33. He says, seek first the kingdom of God. And then when we come to Matthew 8, and we've already read a couple of these passages, I'm just going to look at them briefly because we don't have enough time to read them all. It said, when Jesus came down from the mountain, a great multitude followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus put out his hand and touched him and said, I'm willing, be cleansed. Immediately, leprosy was cleansed. Now, can you imagine, put yourself in that position. In that day and time, leprosy was the plague that couldn't be healed. So if you had leprosy, you were completely exiled. You were put out. They had leper colonies. They had leper places where, because leprosy was that dreaded disease, couldn't be healed of. We have a leper in the Old Testament being healed. But the reality is it was a terrible, terrible, terrible deal. So when this leper came and worshipped him, said, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. The Lord put out his hand and touched him and said, I'm willing. I'm telling you, Jesus is still willing. Jesus is still healing. But can you imagine when Jesus reached out his hand to touch him, don't you know the devil said to him, you're going to get that. See, what's so interesting, and Bill Johnson shares this, in the Old Testament, when you touched something unclean, you became unclean. So when anything touched dead or anything that was out of order, then you had to literally do whatever they told you to do, but you were clearly unclean. If a priest did anything or if you touched anything bloody or dead or whatever, you were unclean. But in the New Testament, what he has called us to do is what Jesus did, that we lay hands on things that are unclean and they become clean. It is so important for us to recognize that it's reversed in the new covenant. We don't live in the old, we live in the new. And it's time for us to realize that we're supposed to go lay hands on the sick and see them recover. We have another healing of the centurion servant, 9 through 13. This is a story about faith and not the guy being healed. The centurion had faith. He recognized authority. So every healing, we go through some of these, but not very many because we don't have enough time, there's going to be little nuances and little things different. Why? Never the same. It's not a pattern. It's not I say it this way, I lay hands this way, I do this. No, Jesus did things differently. Why? Because he doesn't want us to trust in a pattern. He wants us to trust in him. Now, remember, he only did what he saw the Father do. He only said what he heard the Father say. So he didn't come to do his own will. So clearly, I believe the will is to heal, but we don't have a copy that we do everything the same way every time. No, we have to listen to God the same way that he did, that he healed those who came to him, and he healed, obviously, the people that he encountered that sought him out. But he just didn't go randomly heal everybody. So same thing in this passage. The centurion said, hey, I'm a man under authority. I see you're under authority. What's he saying? He said what he said. He goes, look, when I tell this one to go, he goes, because I'm a man under authority. So he believes that Jesus, he has no clue what authority he's under. But he knows this, that when he speaks the word, people are healed. So he recognized authority. Jesus said, "Wow, I've not seen such great faith in all of Israel. Go, your servant will be healed at the very moment." We looked at Peter's mother-in-law, and it says here, he cast out the spirit, the word, and healed all those who were sick. That's verse 16. Chapter 9. And then we have, he says, he got in a boat, crossed over, and came to his own city. Behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you." And some of the scribes said with themselves, "This man blasphemies." But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier, to say, 'Your sins are forgiven me,' or to say, 'Arise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." Then he said to the paralytic, "Arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." And he arose, departed to his house. Now, again, these are very interesting passages, because we've believed for years, for hundreds of years, we believe that we were saved by grace, that Jesus paid for our sin on the cross and we were forgiven. But we don't really believe that healing was necessarily. There's been bits and pieces and healing ministries throughout the ages, but generally speaking, and especially in the Protestant branch of the church, we believe our sins are forgiven, but we don't really believe it has to do with healing. But here, it's easier to say your sins are forgiven or to say arise and walk. Why? Because I believe Jesus is saying that they're tied together. See, at the cross, he forgave our sin, but he also healed, we are healed by his stripes. So he's given to us everything that we need. So another healing. Verse 18, when he spoke these things, behold, a ruler came and worshipped him, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hands on her and she will live." Now, another case says that she is very sick unto death. But this account says she's dead. Jesus rose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, "If only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well." So Jesus turned around and saw her and said, "Be of good cheer, daughter, but your faith has made you well." And the woman was made well from that very hour. Now, I'm reading this out of the Matthew account. The Luke account is much more extensive. And he basically said that he knew virtue had gone out of him. What is that? Well, there's clearly an anointing that is released for healing. It says a number of times where there was that the healing anointing was there, and he could do no greater miracles except heal a few people. And clearly, and I've seen an experience, we've seen that too, where there are times when it seemed like people really get healed. There are other times it doesn't seem like that. Why? I don't know why. I don't know why things come and go. God doesn't come and go. He's promised he'd never leave us nor forsake us. So I don't know. All I know is this woman, she believed that if she could touch the hem of his garment, she'd be healed. And when there was virtue that left her, there was an anointing that hit her, Jesus knew right off somebody had tapped in by faith. He turns around. He says, "Who touched me?" In the Luke account, they said, "Well, they're all touching you." Now, again, if you've been into Jerusalem, the streets are very, very narrow where he's walking, and there was probably always a throng of people around him. So it was constantly, it's like, wow, how do we deal with this? So the bottom line is that it was always crowded, but he knew somebody had touched him by faith. And that's really what God has called us to do. So, well, do you say we have to have faith? Somebody's got to have some faith. It looks like that the centurion had faith for his servant. It looked like the people in the beginning of chapter 9 had faith for their friend. But it does seem like there has to be some faith. And it's easy. This particular woman, she seemed to have faith because Jesus addressed it and said, "Your faith has made you well." Now, faith is in God. Faith is not in faith. Remember, he said, it's not about faith in faith. It's not trying to generate faith. You've got to believe that God is who he says he is. And then in Hebrews 11:6 says he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You've got to believe in God. So how does faith come? Well, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So again, I'm like the guy that his son was healed. He says, all things are possible if you believe. He said, I believe. And then he said, help my unbelief. We're all that way. We are all like that. And we need help. Help us, Lord. Help us to really help our unbelief. Well, he goes on in this chapter 9. He goes on and he says, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. He came to the ruler's house, saw the flute players and the noisy crowd waiting. And he said to them, make room for the girl. It's not dead, but she's sleeping. Now, again, the same statement he uses about Lazarus. And he says, Lazarus is sleeping. And they said, well, if he's sleeping, he'll wake up. He goes, no, guys, this is Luke chapter 11. He says, no, guys, to you, he's dead. From your perspective, there's so many things in our life are dead. But from God's perspective, it's just sleeping. He views his death as sleeping. We view it as terminal. So he views this girl, she's sleeping. She is in a state, but we call it dead. They called it dead. And when he put the crowd out, he went in and touched her hand, and the girl arose, and the report of this went out into all the land. So again, Jesus is our healer. He healed and he delivered people. And then verse 27, departed from there, and two blind men followed him, crying out, saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he had come into the house, the blind man came to him and said, do you believe that I'm able to do this? And he said, yes, Lord. And he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be done to you, be to you. And their eyes were opened, and they warned them, saying, see that no one tells you. So verse 32, they went out, and behold, they brought to him a man, mute and demon-possessed. And when the demon was cast out, the mute spoke, and the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never seen like this in Israel. But the Pharisees said, well, he cast out demons by the ruler of demons. Then Jesus went out into all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And when they saw all the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. And he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, the laborers are few. Therefore pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Now, I'm going to stop there. I'm going to continue this in the next session. I want to pick it up there. But it's very clear to me that Jesus was the extension of the Father, and he brought his kingdom to earth. His kingdom is his rule and his reign. There's no sickness in heaven. Why are we supposed to pray for that? There's no sickness there. He's saying, pray for my will to be done, for my kingdom rule to come on earth. Why? Because it's the earth that's out of order. It's the earth that we still live in sin. We still live in sickness. We still have death. And so it's for us to begin to release that. Everybody's supposed to be healed? Obviously, everybody's not healed. But we need to believe for healing for ourselves. So I want to pray for us. And again, if you're healed or you receive healing, please let us know. Contact us and let us know, because we're excited to rejoice with you. Well, Father, we love you and bless you, and we thank you that we are healed by your stripes. I thank you that you paid with your life, shed your blood, preached and demonstrated the kingdom of God so that we can walk in the fullness of what's already been done in heaven. Lord, you told us to pray for that, for your will, for your kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. Well, Lord, I believe there's no sickness in heaven, and I believe we're supposed to pray for that here. So, Lord, there would be divine healing, plus there would be miracles. There would be, just release your power. Now, I pray, Lord, right now that everyone's listening to this would start receiving healing. They would just be healed, whole, made whole. And that, Lord, regardless of what's going on, we're asking for miracles, signs, and wonders in Jesus' name. Lord, we love you, we bless you, and we are so grateful and thankful that, Lord, you didn't leave us here without your presence, your promised presence, And Lord, your healing for us literally, physically, and emotionally, but especially physically. And we love you. We bless you. We thank you. Now in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for watching.